more or less continue where we left off, but with a little bit with a little bit of a review of what we said last time, because Baruch Hashem, there is tremendous depth to everything that Rav Kook says, and because of that, it's always worthwhile making sure that we know where we are holding in any particular sugya. So we began last time discussing the very first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah tells us that the correct time for saying Kriyat Shema, Shel Arvis, is from the time that the Kohanim begin to go and eat. And this is something, obviously, that is perplexing, because the time of saying Shema is something that we are very familiar with, and the time that Kohanim go and eat is something that we are really not very familiar with. And this is true not just by us, this is true as a general cloud, that this is a real and relevant fact, even in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he was transcribing, when he was writing the Mishnah. Really, this is at least a century plus after the Churban HaBayis, and because of that, it's clear and obvious that even Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and the contemporaries of his time were not so familiar with what was going on with regards to Kohanim and eating truma. So I'm going to screen share this Marimokam with you, and please God, you should all be able to follow along inside as we do so. And that should be up on your screen in just a moment. There we go. We got it? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so Rav Kook begins once again, just doing a little bit of review here. Rav Kook begins by telling us, and then he tells us that there is a difference between Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris and Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. And he details that there is a Shachris and an Arvis of the Jewish people, a Shachris and an Arvis of the lives that we lead, of the world that we live in. And that is the Shachris and the Arvis of Golos and Geula. Shachris meaning the morning, this is when the Jewish people are doing well, that everything is great, that life is levedik, that everything makes sense to us. And Arvis, when Rachman al-Islam, there's challenges, there's real challenges. And he writes, we're in the 7th line here. He says, V'hinei b'golos adoim l'erev, when it comes to nighttime, which is golos, which is nighttime, ikar po l'seinu hi rak b'negea le'atzmeinu. The only thing that we can do with regards to our Kriyat Shema, which we defined last time, as calling out, as screaming out, as crying out in the name of Hashem to recognize the unity, the oneness, the uniqueness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, all that we can affect is ourselves. Kedei lamed bifnei hagalim ha'orvim aleinu ba'oz shem Hashem. In order to withstand all of the trials and tribulations of the world that is around us, we call out in the name of Hashem in order to be able to withstand all of those pressures, temptations, the entire world of Meshugasim that we have to live with and deal with. Now, it's worth just taking note here for a second. Got to have a little bit of coffee here. That's coffee is, in Yiddish, is kaveh, right? It's kaveh l'Hashem. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. So, it's not so well learned these days, but there was a time that the preeminent text that people would be given in order to start to learn a little bit about tefillah was Rav Eli Munk's Olam HaTefillos. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with Rav Eli Munk's Olam HaTefillos. But World of Tefillos, that's World of Prayer, that's how they had it in English. He's got a few introductions there. And in the introduction to, I think it was the second introduction, he discusses the difference between Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv as it pertains to the way that the others set it up. So the Mishnah, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, we'll see this a little later on, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that Avram is Mezaken Tzvila Shachris. Avram institutes the Tzvila of Shachris, and Yitzchak is the one who institutes the Tzvila of Mincha, and Yaakov is the one that institutes the Tzvila of Maariv. Right? That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara brings drushes from Sukkim to explain how each of these three things work. But Avram, Davin Shachris, as the Gemara said, because the Pasuk tells us And then the Gemara learns that Avram got up in the morning and he stood there, and there's no such thing as Amida Ela Tefillah, Ein Amida Ela Tefillah. So the Gemara learns out that there's Shachris by Avraham. And then Yitzchak is the one that institutes Mincha. How do you know? Because the pasuk says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuch Basada Leis Erev. He goes out in the late afternoon. He goes out to Davin in the late afternoon. The Gemara actually proved that the word Lasuch means Tefillah. Okay. And then the Gemara says, by Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov is the one that institutes Tfilas Ma'ariv, because by Yivgav Makam, by Yalan Sham Kivah HaShemesh, that Yaakov Avinu arrives at what Chazal tell us is Har HaMariah, by Yivgav Makam, that he encounters that place, by Yalan Sham Kivah HaShemesh, and he rests there because the sun is setting, or the sun has set. And then the Gemara says, Ein Pegia El Tfilah, that encountering, the Lashon of encountering also means tefillah. And from here, the Gemara learns that the Ovos were the ones that instituted Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv. So when I was younger, we used to joke that there's no raya that Yitzchak instituted the tefillah of Mincha, right? Because Avram instituted Shachris. Vayashkem Avraham Babaka. Avram was the Zaydi. He woke up early every morning. What about Yitzchak? So the pasuk says, Yitzchak was a teenager. He got up late afternoon. Who says that he was davening Mincha? No, it was just that. So when he got up, he was davening Shachris. But it's obviously not true. But it's a good word when you're a teenager in yeshiva. But Rav Eli Munk has a tremendous. I don't know if it's his own chiddush, but he writes it so eloquently and so beautifully. He says that these three tefillahs really represent the three lives of the Avos. And I suppose it's very apropos to where we're holding now in the parashas, because Avraham Avinu's life begins before dawn, right? Avraham Avinu begins in darkness. He is the child and the grandchild of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But very quickly in his life, in fact, from almost the moment that the Torah picks up with him from Parashas Lech Lecha, Avraham is ki'ilu into the sunrise, right? He's at least introduced to us in the sunrise of his life. And Avraham Avinu's life goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up. He's the only one of the Avos that by the end of his life only sees amazing things. Only sees amazing things. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mavarech Avraham Bakol, gives him everything. Gives him everything. He gets to see Yitzchak finally getting married. He gets to be able to see Yaakov. He raised him, the Gemara Baba Basha says, until the age of 15. They learned together. So Avraham Avinu's life is the morning. He's the Shachris of the Avos. It's the morning. What about Yitzchak? So Yitzchak is born. Yitzchak is born in the afternoon. Yitzchak is born as Avraham's sun begins to set. Yitzchak enters into the world. Yitzchak's life is the beginning of it is beautiful, amazing. Look at that. Up until the age of 38, he just sits and learns with his father, and then off he goes to the arcade, and then he comes back. That's challenging, but then he comes back and he gets married. He struggles a little bit to have children, sure. But Yiddishkeit is on the up and up. But by the end of Yitzchak Avinu's life, it's mamish le'eis erev. His eyes have already dimmed. He doesn't know who he's giving a bracha to. The one that he gives a bracha to ends up fleeing. The one that he doesn't give a bracha to is the one that sticks around and wants to kill the one that he gave the bracha to. Yitzchak's life ends in darkness, both physically, because he cannot see, and psychologically, with tremendous fear, with tremendous trepidation, what's going to be of the Jewish people. And as it is by Yaakov Avinu is born in the darkness and lives his whole life by night. We know this because Yaakov Avinu, when he finally meets Paro, in that tremendous scene, so that tremendous scene at the end of Parshas Vayechi, where Paro looks at him and says, I've never seen anybody as old as you look. How old are you? He's just astounded, like the oldest looking person I have ever seen in my whole life. That's what Paro says to him. And Yaakov says to him, the truth is that I haven't even lived as long as my father and grandfather. Yaakov's whole life is tzaras. So Yaakov is Mariv. Yaakov is Golos. Yaakov is darkness. That's his whole life. Hashachos mincha marib. And what Rav Kook is telling us here is that the Kriya Shema that we say at night, is the Kriya Shema of Yaakov Avinu, of that world of darkness, of that world of Golos, of that world of total lack of clarity, of I don't know what's happening. I don't know where I am in life right now. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. All that I can do is call out in the name of Hashem myself. That's what I have left. I call out in the name of Hashem, and that should make a difference. And that's how he continues here. He says, Im kein balayla shayach emuna. If this is so, then nighttime is the epitome of when a person needs emuna. Mi shalai omar emes ve'emuna arvis lo yotzei idei chavasa. Somebody that has not said emes and emuna at night has not been yotzei idei chiyuv. What does that mean, emes and emuna? So in the morning we say emes ve'yotzev. Ah, it's emes, it's true ve'yotzev. And look at that, it's stable, stationary. It's well formed. It has a good foundation. That's yotzev. It's good. We see it for what it should be. Nighttime is not like that. Nighttime, you have to have emunah. Nighttime is not a time of yatsiv. It's not the same clarity. Nighttime requires a tremendous amount of emunah. Nighttime requires us to understand that even though it's dark, there is light. It will get better. It can be better. And that's why the notion of emunah, like David HaMelech tells us, ve'emunas chabalelos, is deeply connected to the concept of nata. You don't need emuna if you see things clearly. Just to illustrate this point, and it's kedai to be ma'ayin here. The Sfasemis points out, this is a very kedai marimakam to know. This is the very first Sfasemis in Parshas Vayechi, actually. It's a famous medrash. You're all familiar with the medrash. The medrash tells us that, and Rashi quotes this, Parshas Vayechi is unique amongst all the parshas. What's unique about the very beginning of Parshas Vayechi? It doesn't have a gap, right? Mm-hmm. It's the only parsha that doesn't begin on a break. And Rashi there tells us because Parshas Vayechi is where Yaakov Avinu is going to reveal to his children the kates, because Yaakov legales es ha kates, v'nistam imenu, he wants to reveal the kates, whatever that means, Moshiach Geula, we'll speak about that in 1 second. He wants to reveal the kates. V'nistam imenu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says no. Kadosh Baruch Hu says no, so his nevuah is closed. There's a closeness there, and that's indicative by the fact that the psukim are run on. There's no break. There's no psucha. There's no stuma. Right? There's no break at all. It's not a tab. It's not an enter. There's no pay or samach in the chumash. There. It's the only parasha that doesn't have a break before it. Rashi darshins there, based on the Medrash Rabba, that because Yaakov regards the kates v'nistam imenu. Says this Fasem is quoting from the Zohar HaKadosh, that it's not so simple. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that what Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children, he did reveal to them, b'derech nistam. It's not that he wanted to reveal and he didn't reveal. No, he wanted to reveal something, v'nistam, and he couldn't reveal it openly, he could only reveal it in a hidden way. He could only reveal it in a closed way. What does that mean, v'nistam, that he could only reveal it in a closed way? So the Sfasemis explains that this is the difference between emes and emuna. Emes means I get it. Emuna means I don't get it, but I believe that somebody does. So I'll give you an example. I don't know if you remember, a long time ago, once upon a time, people used to take planes, right? Long time ago, people used to get on airplanes and they used to fly through the sky to distant locations, right? Nobody here knows how a plane flies. No one, right? We don't. If somebody said to you, if you went back to the 1600s and explained to them that you just traveled from Florida to New York in an airplane, they would say, was meinst das airplane? And you would say to them, you know, it's this big, like, metal-looking bird, I think. And it's got big fire at the back of it and on the sides. And it shoots out fire and you go flying through the sky. So in the 1600s, they would burn you at the stake for that, for sure. Right? That's, you're a witch. That's it. There's no ways you're going to survive telling that tale in the 1600s. Because none of us have any idea how a plane flies. We can sort of speak about thrust and lift and air currents, be'erach. But if somebody said, like, you know, explain to me why all the laws of gravity tell me that if I'm in a big metal object, you know, 30,000 feet in the sky, I'm going to die. That's my experience of life. So past this is, none of us know the emes of how planes fly. There is an emes. There's a truth. There's a reality why planes fly. We just don't know it. What do we have? We have emuna. We have emuna that planes fly. And we're not even sure who we're mamin in. We're mamin in, basically, in Boeing, in the pilot, in the engineers that worked for Boeing, that designed the plane, that trained the pilot. There's a lot of emuna that's going on here. Does it mean that there isn't a truth? No, there is a truth. We just don't personally know it. So the Sasama says that that's what Yaakov Avinu is revealing to his children. He's saying to them, look, I want to tell you how to like survive in this thing called Gavos, this Erev, this Laila, this darkness, this night time. I want to tell you how you're going to find the Ribbono Shel Olam even in Mitzrayim, Erev HaSa'aretz, in like the worst place in the world. I'm going to show you how you can find Hashem. You ready? And Ribbono's like, yeah, we're ready, ready. Tati, Zaidi, tell us, we're ready to go. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no. Yaakov, you can't tell them. Because there needs to be Bechira Chafshis, and there needs to be Golos, and there needs to be Geula, and there's a process, yeah. So then Yaakov says to them, says the Sasamas, he says, there is Geula, and there is meaning, and there is purpose, and you can do this. I cannot show you how, but I can show you me. Take a look at me, and you'll realize that I understand how this is working. You're each going to need to figure this out yourself, Yaakov says. You're going to need to figure out how to find Geula in the Golos yourself. You're going to need to find Yoin Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in the Golos all by yourself. But just know that it's possible. That's what Emes Ve'emuna means. And that's what we say at night. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. I believe that it's true. But it's Ve'emuna calls us. But all of what I have is not Emes. I don't own Emes. I don't personally see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's MS. What I do have is Emunah. Now, if you're wondering why it is that I'm quoting you as Samus, this is written up right at the very beginning of Ma'ad Haraya, of Rav Neria's Sefer. Rav Neria's got a beautiful Sefer on all of the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, Shchodesh, a lot of different things of Rav Kook. So he quotes there that Rav Kook always had on his table, he was always learning a Shas, a Rambam, and a Tanakh. That was all week long. That was on his little shelf next to his window, was a Tanakh, a Shas, a Rambam. That was his whole life. But on Shabbos, he added to it the Klei Chemda, the Torah Or of the Alter Rebbe, and the Sfas-Emes. Rav Kook was in love with the Sfas Emes and well-versed in the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, who wasn't so much before him. I mean, he was a contemporary of the Imre Emes, who was the son of the Sfas Emes. Mm-hmm. So Rav Kook loved the Sfas Emes. He always said that the Sfas Emes is the tamtzis, is the concentrate of everything that went on in Kutsk and Pshischa. That's the tamtzis of Kutsk and Pshischa. Found its way, it's filtered all into the Sfas Emes, and he very much loved to learn Sfas Emes, was influenced by it. We'll see many, many concepts that Rav Kook discusses are rooted in Gra and Ramchal in the world, Gra, Ramchal and Maral in the world that is not Hasidish, but in the world of Hasidus, there's a tremendous amount of Rav Kook's ideas that are founded in Breslov, in Chabad, and in Ger. And we'll see how these ideas develop. But Rav Kook writes as follows. So continuing this piece, he says, Gila atzmeinu dai lanu he'emuna v'kabalas emes ma'vaseinu shiro ayin ba'ayin ar Hashem uchvoida. He says, for us, the truth is, for us, all that we need is to know that our Zaydi understood. Meaning, in the darkness of Golos, when we don't understand, when we don't know what's happening, It's enough for us to say, look, I don't get it, but I know somebody that did. I know somebody that did understand what's going on here. He says, Om number Esa Geula, at the time of Geula, Shetarim Karim Yisrael, that the Jewish people's name will be raised, that our shofar will be sound. That's Karim Yisrael, the horn of the Jewish people. As we mele tovay shas ha-pe'ula shel Kriyas Shema de-Shachris, then will come the Kriyas Shema shel Shachris, the time of action, of activity, of the Kriyas Shema of the morning. The Ava Rabba, tremendous love, the great love that the Jewish people is going to educate and is going to inspire the world. That everybody's going to say that the light of the Jewish people should be the light of the whole wide world. Everybody's going to see that the light of the Jewish people is tremendous. It's the light of the universe. Now, that's not true today, right? The rest of the world do not look at us and say, wow, we want to be like them. That we want to be like Gewalt. I've mentioned this many times in shul and many times to my talmidim in the high school, is that the people that I feel the most sad for in this election cycle are, Rahman al-Itzlan, the poor second, third, fourth grade public school kids in inner city districts across the United States. Because regardless of your politics, at some point in the very near future, there is going to be noch a face on that wall. Either it'll be the same one that's there currently, or there'll be another face of the classroom wall in the elementary schools across the United States. And that's going to be their next gadol. That's who they got. And for us, pick your gadol. There's people here that have the Lubavitcher Rebbe on their wall. There's people that have Rav Shach. There's people that have Rav Moshe Weinstein. There's people that have Rav Adi Yosef. And there's people across the board. I take any of them on my wall, as opposed to the Chevra that seem to be taking up a tremendous amount of space and time. And these are the people that everybody's like talking about and handling about. These are the people that you're so excited about. You know, it means that the Jewish people, Shetorim Kerem Yisrael, is that the whole world is like, oh my gosh. Did you read that tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman? Whoa! Gewalt! What a pele! Did you see that tweet about Rav Shechter? Whoa! Billions of retweets about Rav Shechter. That's not the world. That's not the world that we live in. That our gedolim are not what is gadol in the world. Our gedolim are like a footnote of a footnote of a footnote of the interest of, like, you know, a random group of Jews. The Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to learn together on our Wednesday afternoon. That's Shetorim Karim Yisrael. That's what it means that the Jewish people are Rachman Islam still in galus. Is that our gedolim are not gedolim for the world. The world does not look at our gedolim and say, that's a gadol. Ooh, that's a gadol. So he says, Shekhar Amin Myon Sha'ar Yisrael, yeah, La'ar Olam. That's the morning. That's the Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris. He says, Im Kain, if this is so, as is Galut Tamei Torah, when it comes to the morning, when the sun's going to rise, then the whole world is going to understand Tamei Torah. They're not just going to understand this is the reason that we do it because my Alter Zaidi did it like that. They're going to say, this is the reason that we did the Torah, because I understand Torah. Because it's not foreign from me. Because it's part and parcel of who I am and I understand it. And all the things that are so distant and foreign and esoteric are all of a sudden just going to be poshut. We're going to understand it like we understand that you stop at a red light. We're going to understand, of course you don't mix meat and milk. Ah, it's a chok. Yeah, now it's a chok. Then we're nascha balelos. But at some point in time, Or Hashem is going to be shining throughout the whole world, and everyone's going to be, yeah, obviously. That's poshut. It's impossible to mix meat and milk. It's impossible to tie together wool and linen. It's impossible to be Mechal on Shabbos, obviously. People are going to put on tefillin and say, not, you know, the minhag of my parents is to wrap inwards and the minhag of your parents is to wrap outwards, everybody's going to be like, we understand why tefillin exists. What's pshat in tefillin? What's pshat in tzitzis? We're gonna know these things. These things are going to be readily apparent to everyone. He says, that's going to be the morning. He says, all of these things that are so distant from us now are going to be apparent. They're going to be relevant and elevated and understood. Absolutely understood in the world to come. The world to come not meaning neshamas. The world to come meaning Mashiach. That's when the light of Hashem shines on the world. We're not talking about, you know, after 120. We're talking about the light of Hashem shining on all of humanity. And then Tamei Torah just become obvious. He says, what will be the purpose of this great light? He says, Ki lemane krav rechaikim, in order to bring those that are distant back home, in order to bring those that are far near once again. We're talking about both Jews and non-Jews. They will need truth. They will need to understand a world of truth, not just emuna. And it will need to be translated through all of the various external channels of the nations of the world. People are going to need to know, we'll put this in simple language, why Torah is relevant and true and important for an American teenager in 2020. And of course, Rav Kook is already speaking about this 100 and something years ago. Rav Kook is writing these words because Rav Kook is deeply engaged with the fact of tens of thousands of frum Jewish boys going off the derech. And they're abandoning Torah and they're abandoning mitzvahs because they're saying, I get that you all have emuna, but we here need emes. We need to understand the truth. We need to understand why. We need to understand the reality of why Torah and mitzvahs is important. Don't just tell me to keep it because this is emuna, that this is mesorah. Now, all of you have encountered these thoughts and these ideas and these lines from different people at different points in time. That somebody will say to you, I'm not doing it because I don't understand why I need to do this. Explain to me why I cannot mix meat and milk. Because that's the Mesorah. We have Emuna. Emunas Chachamim. We know that this is true. How do you know that this is true? We have Emuna. That's not good enough anymore. That's not good enough. And Rav Kook is very deeply feeling that it's not good enough because nighttime is about to end and the morning is about to begin. And in the morning, you don't need emuna. It's no longer emunas chabalelos. You need emes v'yatziv. I need a foundation. I need emes. I don't want to just know that somebody says that it's true. I want to know why it's true. And it's now going to need to be explained, not just within the mizgeret, within the framework of what Yadus is, within the framework of Torah. But Rav Kook says, we're going to need to explain Torah through the prism of the rest of the world in order to be mekarev rechokim. We're going to need to make Torah relevant to Russian communist Jews in 1910, and we're going to need to make Torah relevant to off the derech Jewish boys and girls in 2020 in the United States of America. We're going to need to make it relevant to them. He says, and that's the Or Hashem, the Or HaEmes, that becomes so desperately necessary at this point in Jewish history. He says, Im kein emes v'yatzev shachris miturgemes aramis. He says, the emes v'yatzev of shachris needs to be translated. It needs to be translated into a language that people can understand. And then he goes on to explain why. He says, Yisrael heim kahane Hashem ba'olam. The Jewish people are the Kohanim of Hashem in the world. What does it mean that we're the Kohanim of Hashem? It's in the same way that the Jewish people have people that settle the land and develop the economy, and are doctors, lawyers, dentists, and plumbers and engineers and web designers. There's a whole world of people that make Eretz Yisrael run. There are also people that interface between the Am and the Migdash, that ensure that the Migdash is maintained, that ensure that the Migdash is a place that everybody can connect to Hashem. They're the people that ensure that that is always possible. And the relationship that the Kohen has to the Jewish people is the relationship that the Jewish people has to the world. And this is Rav Kook at his most universalist. Now, he's not coming from this himself. This is a Svarna. The Svarna explains, Hashem says to the Jewish people, just before Matan Torah, you're going to be a Mamlechas Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim, and a Goy Kodesh. So the Svarna says, and I make my students learn this Balpeh every year, Lahavinu laharos lechol hamina enoshi likro kulam b'shem Hashem ulavdai shchem echad. To educate and to inform all of humanity to call out in the name of Hashem and to serve Him together. That's the goal of the Jewish people. And then the Svarna says, as it will be, la'asid lavai, as it will be, please God, in our great and glorious future yet to come. That's the goal. We will be Kohane Hashem, the same way that the Kohanim ensure that there is an appropriate place, an environment to interface between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Jewish people will provide that for the world. So he says, Yisrael heim kohanei Hashem ba'olam. We are the Kohanim, the priests of Hashem in the world. Priest is the wrong word. Kohanim is the right word. Mitzad oskam b'inyanim ha'pnimiyim beinam levein atzmam. With regards to the relationship that we privately have with Hashem. He says, v'davar ein lahem az imzarim. And in that relationship that the Kohen has with Hashem, that the Jewish people has with Hashem, in that relationship, there is a unique and intimate connection that excludes everybody else. When the Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdash, yes, the Kohen is also Shluchei Didan, like the Gemara tells us. Machlokes, are they Shluchei Rachman or Shluchei Didan? Are they emissaries of the Jewish people or emissaries of the Ribbono Shel Olam? They function as both to a certain extent. But one cannot shy away from the fact that the Kohen does have a unique and intimate relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that enables the Kohen to be able to be this person for everyone else. The Kohen needs to have a unique and special connection to Hashem. And the Kohen works on himself and develops himself and becomes a person of substance and of connection and of connectivity, so that when a Jew comes to the Mishkan, comes to the Beis HaMikdash, brings his carbon, wants to connect to Hashem, he has the capacity to do so because the Kohen can take him by the hand and say to him, come along, young man, come along, young lady, let me explain to you how to connect to Hashem. The job of the Kohen is to be that demonstrative example of what it means to connect to Hashem. But in that connection between the Kohen and the Ribbono Shel Olam, nobody else is present. Nobody else is leading the way for the Kohen. The Kohen has to be at that point of connection. Of course, the Kohen Gadol is at the highest point of connection. Lifnei v'lifnim, in the closest place, in the plimius aplimius, in the deepest, closest place between a Jew and Hashem. So he says that that place that a Kohen interfaces with Hashem, there's nobody else there. It's before a Shepasuk, v'hazar ha-karev yumas. And a non-Kohen that comes to the place of the Kohen that has Misa B'Dei Shemayim, that brings a korban in the place of a Kohen, that's not a place for everybody else. A regular Jew doesn't have that relationship. That's unique to the Kohen. A regular Jew has many other relationships with Hashem, many other avodas, many other tafkidim. But a Yisrael does not have the same level of connection as a Kohen does. A Kohen gives up a lot in order to have it. He says, in this regard, we are daimim le kohanim. We are similar to kohanim. Leiva esia eru Torah. I feel be esia kirvah karbanas. He says, but this is not exemplified at the point of bringing a korban or even teaching Torah. Where is the kohen the most kohen? She'az yeshlem yachas mzarim. When he's bringing a korban, when he's giving a shir, the kohen has a relationship to a Yisrael. She'em al kolpanim oisem abram. They're still working on behalf of the Jewish people. Shluchi didona, shluchi derachmana. Whether we are operating on the kohen is operating on behalf of the Jewish people or on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, "Aval shluchim." But at the end of the day, at that moment that a kohen is bringing a korban, he's a shliach. He's doing somebody's bidding. Number eight, and now is where you see Rav Kook bring this whole philosophy into this first Mishnah. At the moment that a kohen goes to eat his truma, because the truma of a kohen is only for a kohen. A kohen cannot give his truma to a non-kohen, and a non-kohen that eats truma is chayiv kares. Nobody else is allowed to eat truma except for a kohen. At the moment that a kohen eats truma, hem nichnasim la'olam ha-kohani kulay. He becomes totally enwrapped in the world of a kohen, totally wrapped into the world of kahuna. Va'asu li'shtatef im zar klal, and he cannot share that meal with a non-kohen at all. He's not allowed to. As opposed to, by the way, ma'aser. When it comes to Meiser, Levi is allowed to share Meiser. It's a question of mamonos. Levi is allowed to invite you to have Meiser challah with, at his Shabbos meal. But when the Kohen is eating Truma, only Kohanim are there. It is a private affair. It is a moment where a Kohen says to his children, we're Kohanim. That's what we are. No one else is invited to this party because they're not Kohanim. Only Kohanim are allowed in. He says, "Ki ein lezar chelik ba'achilas uklal." No non-kohen is allowed to enjoy this. V'ton havdala mimenu, and he has to separate. He has to be separate from all of the other non-kohanim, all the Levim, all of the Israelim. And Arav Kook brings it home. He says, "Kein zman kriyashma shel arvis." This is the time of kriyashma at night. Haklalis. Not nighttime at night, but during the night of Jewish history, during the darkness of Golos, where Jews scream out Shema Yisrael, to give us strength and to give us with the Torah and to connect us with our mission during the Kriya Shema HaKlolis Shel Arvis. The overwhelming generational, intergenerational call out to Hashem at night. He says, this goremes lios Yisrael am levadad. This comes hand in hand with the loneliness and aloneness of the Jewish people. No one else calls out our Shema Yisrael at night along with us. We're all alone in that. Al we want to maintain and retain and protect that which we have acquired in the world of Kedusha. We want to be able to educate children and grandchildren to be Oskim Batara. We want them to say Kriya Shema as well, to call out to the name of Hashem in the middle of the night, in the middle of Golos, in the middle of the darkest of times, that a Jew says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, even though I don't have Emunah, I don't have Emes, but I do have Emunah. It's a very lonely ordeal. It's a lonely ordeal. He says, Chaye Olam, we're trying to hold on to the Chaye Olam Shesham Hashem Yisbarach Vaseichai, the light of all lives, the life of the world, which has Hashem built into it. He says, Imkein Yesh Musag Shel Yachas Ben Kriyashma Shel Arvis L'shash HaKonim Nichnasim L'Echol B'Trumasam. He says, if that's the case, then there is a very deep connection between the Kriya Shema Shel Arvis and the time that the Kohen goes to eat his truma. What's this deep connection? Just like a Kohen experiences himself as a Kohen the most when he is separate, when he is different, when he goes home and eats his truma with nobody else there, he becomes a Kohen Hashem. That's his private world, his private relationship with the world of Kahuna with the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam? If that's the case, says Rav Kook, then this is our avoda of Kriya Shema Shel Arvus. This is how we say Kriya Shema at night. We're saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're calling out to you in a world where no one else is calling out. Not only that, but no one else can. They are mufka from that world. Like a Yisrael is mufka, is distant, is disparate, is far away from Truma. The rest of the world is far away from Shema Yisrael because we're in the middle of the night. We're in the middle of the night. There will come a time, says Rav Kook, that we will be able to experience, not just experience, but to be able to express and explain and include many, many more hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of people into the Or Hashem of the Emes V'yotziv when the sun is shining. But for now, we're living in a world of Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, where all that we do is call out for ourselves, for our family of Kohanei Hashem, who are yet to interface with the world to share this Torah with the universe. But we can share it with ourselves. We can enjoy this meal of Shema Yisrael in the darkness of night by ourselves. Says Rav Kook, for this reason, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi chooses to link the idea of Kriya Shema Shel Arvus with the time that the Kohen goes to eat. To eat, not dinner, truma. Because that's the meal that nobody else is shaykh to. And the Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, the Kriya Shema of Yaakov Avinu, like we said, is not shaykh to anybody else. Doesn't belong to the rest of the world. It belongs only to Am Hashem and only to Kohen Hashem. And please God, we should be able to experience in totality both the Emes Ve'emuna and Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach very, very soon, the Emes Ve'yatsiv of the morning as well. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Shkayach, beautiful.
Thank you. Shkayach.
Thank you very much. Beautiful.
Shkayach. Okay, we'll give it. Good to see everyone. I'm going to put in the chat, everyone, to if you want to take the link to the handout. I'm going to put it also on the screen, but it, just in case if someone wants to. Okay, a minute. Okay.